What's up, Bridgeway Community Church? It's so good to be back in the house. It is so good to see you back from my summer sabbatical. I know some of you have been traveling as well. How many of y'all went on a sabbatical when I went on one? Good. I'm glad not too many of you, because we are back and we are excited because today we're calling it Sneaker Sunday. And you might be looking at me saying, but Pastor, did you get your own memo? Because you're not wearing sneakers. We're going to get there. Just stick with me for the rest of the message. We'll get to those sneakers. Today, we're starting a brand new series. As we do every year when I come back, a four-week Old Testament character study. And our character this year is Abram. We're going to talk about him in a minute. But I want to make sure to give a shout out to our congregation there in Owens Mills, Reisterstown, Maryland. Put your hands together for OMR, Pastor Mitch, Donna. And Donna, thanks for making those sneaker cupcakes for people that come to church. We don't have those in Columbia, so y'all make us a little bit jealous, but that's okay. The rest of y'all at home, it's so good to see you. I want to put my hands together and give some serious applause to all the clergy and the speakers this summer. Amen. The word of God was rich. You are so blessed to have a buffet diet from all our different pastors and ministers, guest teacher Kevin Turpin, and at OMR last week, I watched Pastor Jen and I said, man, that message on overwhelming grace was amazing. Pastor Steve, Pastor Mitch, Pastor Gary, all of y'all that just killed the word of God. And then right here, Pastor Eli and Sandy, and the list just goes on and on and on. They kept preaching that word until the break of dawn. So I'm so grateful to all of them. The last thing I'll say is on September, the second Sunday of September, I want to make sure you're back. So I do the four-week series with an Old Testament character study. And then on September 10th, as we do every year, the second Sunday in September, we launch a brand new theme. And I'm so excited about the brand new theme that we're going to launch. I think you're going to be excited too. Put it on your calendar. If you're traveling, make sure you're back by September the 10th. You know what? One other thing. While I was thinking all the clergy and the ministers and our guest teachers, there is one clergy member that didn't preach this summer. And that was Pastor Jared Sorber. Pastor Jared has been traveling, doing a missions trips throughout the summer. But also in just a few weeks, Pastor Jared is about to graduate with his PhD. He'll be Dr. Jared Sorber. So he's getting prepared for that. So I'm just so proud of him. And I'm proud of you, and I'm so glad I get to worship God with the word today. Lord Jesus, as we go into your word, we pray that your word would go into us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Together, everyone said, amen and amen. Abram. You heard of Abram, right? Maybe you know of Abraham, and we'll talk about how it switched from Abram to Abraham throughout the series. But maybe you'll even remember, for those of you who grew up church, there was a song about Abraham. Remember, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons. Wow. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Left foot, right foot, or something like that. I don't know. But for some of y'all who grew up in church, that's all you, right? Okay, well, we're going to talk about Abram. But here's the thing. A lot of people know the story of Abram starting in Genesis chapter 12, where we have something called the Abrahamic covenant for those theologians in the house. That's when God makes that covenant or that promise to Abraham that as he goes forward, that he's going to be the father of many. And that the world's going to be blessed through him. So that sort of is the backdrop to the origin story of Abraham. But what people don't realize is, what was Abram's upbringing and why was God making that covenant? What was God saying to Abram that was carrying something on from generation to generation? In order to understand that, you have to back it up to chapter 11. Is anybody familiar with Abram's father? Because see, when you see Abram's father and you understand the story of the men in the culture, it'll help you understand a little bit more about this covenant and why this was so important as Abram moved forward. While the name of our series is Get to Steppin', today's message is Get Up and Go. Next week, Just Say No. The following week, Don't Test God, because he's going to test you. And then when we get to the last week, Whom Shall I Fear? But today, get up and go. God says to Abram in Genesis 12, I want you to get up and I want you to go. And if you have a copy of the scriptures, we're going to read that verse in chapter 12, but we're going to back it up to chapter 11. But in chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. So we're familiar with that. What we're not familiar with is chapter 11. And if we are familiar with chapter 11, it's really just the first half, which is the Tower of Babel. Because after Noah had his three sons, Japheth, Ham, and Shem, after all of that took place in Genesis chapter 10 and a bunch of stuff that we won't go into in that chapter, you get to Genesis 11, and the humans are building a tower of ingenuity based on their own skills. That's why it's called the Tower of Babel, because God says, I'm not going to allow you to build this tower of ingenuity based on your own skills for your glory. And so what he does is he separates all the people groups at that time according to geography and languages. So that's where we step into the second half of Genesis 11, and we see this long genealogy. And so when we see this long genealogy, we're like, yep, we're all done now. We're good. We read the story of the Tower of Babel, and now this person has this person who has this person who has this person. And then finally you get to chapter 12, and there's Abram. Okay, good. Because no one's going to spend time on the genealogies. But I'm going to spend a little time on it, because when you understand how the genealogies work, it brings you to a point where you're understanding God calling Abram to step out in faith. Because Terah was the father of Abram. Terah had three children, or three sons rather, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. But when you start reading Genesis 11 and pick it up at verse 10, after the Tower of Babel, you begin to see Shem, one of the three sons of Noah, and his lineage. I'm going to take you there because I want you to notice something. In chapter 11, verse 10, it says, this is the account of Shem. So Shem was the progenitor and father of all the Semites, Jews. Japheth, Ham, or Ham means black people, okay, and all the Africans, and Cush, and it meant burnt people, and then Japheth, that's where you tie back to a bunch of other folk who don't fall into those other categories. But now we're about to see the line of the Shemites, or the Jews, and so it picks it up in verse 10. This is the account of Shem. 2 years after the flood, when Shem was 100 years old, listen, he became the father of Arphaxad. He became the father of Arphaxad. 11. And after he became the father of Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and had other sons and daughters. When Arphaxad had lived 35 years, he became the father of Shelah. And after he became the father of Shelah, Arphaxad lived 403 years, had other sons and daughters. You're like, okay, so what's that all about? Keep going for 10 generations and then get to verse 26. After Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abram. Say Abram for me. Abram. Nahor. And Haran. Okay, now this is what I want you to see. What I want you to see is that in this culture, a man became something when he had a son. A man became something when he had a son. He didn't become something when he had a business. He didn't become something when he had a wife. He became something when he had a son. And so when it says, it'd be like my father, Robert Anderson, became the father of David Anderson when he was 30 years old. Then he lived another 50 years and died. His life was marked by the birth of his son. David became the father of Isaiah at 28 and a half. Then he lived another, by God's grace, 30 or 40 years, and he died. The life of David Anderson was marked by the birth of his first son. He became something when he had a son. Now, he had three, Abram, Nahor, and then his baby boy was Haran. Say Haran for me one more time. That was his baby boy. Now, let's keep reading. Because now we're going to see Terah, who's the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. He became, verse 27, this is the account of Terah. He became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Listen, friends. And Haran, this is his baby boy, became the father of Lot. While his father, Terah, was still alive, Haran died in Ur of Chaldees, the land of his birth. So the father, Terah, had three boys. The baby boy, the baby brother of Abram, dies. His name is Haran. Now, verse 29. Abram and Nahor, because Haran's dead, both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now check out verse 30. It's significant. We'll talk more about this next week. Just say no. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. If a man becomes something when he has a male child, and he's married to a woman that can't give him that male child, you can only imagine the pain that that woman must feel to know that in that culture, what gave her value was to not only have a man, but to have his child. And it makes this statement that Sarai could not bear children, which means that Abram could not become something. Because Abram, you only become something when you give birth to a child. Your life's marked by it. His dad became his dad, and then he lived all these years and died. His whole life, a man's life was marked by his child. So what happens then when you can't have that child? We'll talk about that next week. But what I want you to see here is this. Abram is stepping out from a generation where his father was stuck. His father's name was Terah. Terah had three children. His baby boy's name was what? Haran. Now, this is what I want you to pick up. Terah, verse 31, took his son, Abram, his grandson, Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, the wife of his son, Abram. Together they, listen, set out from Ur of Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to where? Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and he died in where? Now, it says in that verse, they set out to go to Canaan. But he settled in Haran. What was the name of his son who died? So Terah, who had a son who died named Haran, gets to a city called Haran, and even though he was supposed to go to Canaan, he got stuck in Haran. Set out for one place, settled in another. Why? I believe that Tara was stuck emotionally on the death and the grief of his son. What happens is we have a purpose, we have a plan, we have a script that we're hoping to get to. We got our boots on, we're building, we're walking, we're building our family, we're building our business, we're building our dream, we're building our ministry, we're building our education, we're building our finances, we're building our savings, we're in the boot phase. I'm gonna talk about three phases, and that's that first phase when you're in the boot phase, when you're working, when you're building, where you're establishing, and when all the graphs at the office are up and to the right, when the credit score is looking good, when the marriage is feeling romantic, when the children come home and say, thank you for being my parent. That's why I get good grades in school. Yeah, that don't happen. But what, you get what I'm saying. That's when you got your boots on, you're walking. But what happened to Tara is something that can happen to us. Two things, and that is this. He was thrown off by an unexpected circumstance. And secondly, an unexpected circumstance can leave you stuck. And so what I want you to see is that Abram was building. Abram's dad, Terah, was building. He was having his children. He became something when he had Abram. He became something when he had Nahor. He became something when he had Haran. Everything was cool. And he was in the Ur of the Chaldeans, which was the name of the location they were in. But then on their way, there was a place called Haran. And I believe that what happened is Terah, he just settled there. And for you, it's the same thing. You're like, you know what? I'm done building all this stuff. I'm done with this marriage. I'm done with this family. I'm done with these kids. I'm putting on my house shoes. Now, my house, they're called, I put on Crocs. Now, some people don't have house shoes. They just walk barefoot, but we never did that growing up. So in my house, we wear Crocs. Well, I wear Crocs. I don't wear them out the house too much, but I know some people do. But these are my house shoes. And some of us are out of the building phase. We're in the croc phase. The croc phase is when I say, you know what? I'm comfortable here. I'm gonna stay right here. And Terah, even though he was supposed to keep going to Canaan, he was in a place called Haran. How many of you set out to do one thing, but settled for something less? Set out to live the dream that you believe God had called you to in ministry, but settled for something less. Knew that there was a better somebody for you, but you settled for something less. I think I got a witness in the house. If y'all didn't hear that in your living room, let me just tell you, there was some screams and amens and all that. Listen, you got to understand something. What happens is when we get emotionally stuck, it's hard to keep moving. And some of you, and not all of you, but somebody this morning, somebody at Owens Mills right now, somebody in their office right now, someone in their car listening and watching in their phone right now, you're stuck. You're stuck emotionally. You're stuck financially. You're stuck mentally. And what happens is when you get stuck, you procrastinate. You become complacent, And this is what's going on. And Terah, listen, it says he set out for Canaan, but he settled in Haran. And some of you, you have settled in a place where God never designed for you to stay. God designed for you to go through it, not to stick to it. For some people, what was your residency has become your permanency. And God is saying your transition is not your condition. That I called you to go through it, but not to stick to it. A rest stop is just that on the highway. But you done parked there, pitch your tent there, and you're not moving forward. And what God is saying today and what God is telling me to tell you today, somebody needs to know it's time to get up and go. You've stayed too long. You know, one of the things that I did this summer, you know, I've been boating and swimming and all this other stuff, so it's just been getting darker, right? And so last week I was in Florida, and it was 110 degrees down there. I mean, it was hot as Hades. That just reminds you, you don't want to go to hell. I'm going to tell you that now. Well, what's worse is we went out on a boat, me and a buddy, and he was driving, just to be clear, and we got stuck on a sandbar. Which means that there wasn't enough water, we got stuck, and we were now stuck not only in the boat on a sandbar, but that heat was beaming down. I'm like, Lord, have mercy, how are we gonna get out of here? Guess how we got out? We had to call something, those of you who are boaters know this, we had to call somebody, it's called a tow boat. You ever hear about a tow boat? I never knew about this culture, man. A tow boat, what's a tow boat? Well, they have a boat to come out and to tow you when you do stupid stuff. I say, okay. So we called a tow boat, and the boat came out. The guy's walking through the mud. He locks in his rope and hook to our boat, goes back to his boat, fires it up, spins that thing around, and takes us out of the stuckness back into the waters. I was like, wow, that is pretty cool. And I thought to myself, that's what God's trying to teach me. That today God sent me here to tell you, I'm going to be your towboat. If you are stuck in a situation, God is sending me to tell you spiritually you needed a towboat to get you out of a place that you could not get out on your own. But God, because of his grace, the power of his Holy Spirit and his word, can turn something around just like we sung about and pull you right out of your situation so you no longer have to stay stuck in complacency. You no longer have to stay stuck in procrastination. You no longer have to stay stuck in depression. You no longer have to stay stuck in promiscuity. You no longer have to stay stuck in bankruptcy. You no longer have to be stuck in that same job that's been paying you that same amount of money because you've been afraid to put your resume together. You don't have to be stuck. You can write a proposal. You can write a manuscript. You can get up out of your seat and out of your place called Haran. How long will you grieve for Saul, David? How long will you allow yourself to stay in a stuck position because you were hurt? Yes, it hurt. Yes, it was hard. Unexpected circumstances. Unfair. Unpredicted. Nobody likes it. It was all going well. You're not supposed to lose a child. A child supposed to bury his parents. A man became something when he had a child. And now the very child that his life would be marked by is gone. And what happens is you sit down and your tent becomes your dwelling place. The script you wrote for yourself is no longer a script that you can live by. You wrote it all out. You said the kind of guy that you wanted to be married to. You didn't know it was going to end in divorce. But what do you do? What do you do when the very script that you wrote falls apart? How do you preach a sermon with no notes? How do you live a life with no script? How do you raise a child with no manual? Except what to expect when you're expecting. And it doesn't even answer the question of how you're going to address the fact that I have a child with intellectual disabilities. What God is saying, here come the sneakers, y'all. What God is saying is put on your Air Force Ones. What God is saying is untie the laces because those joints are tight. What God is saying is you got to get to stepping. Put your sneakers on because otherwise you will die there. How many of y'all got some sneakers today? Raise your hand. You got some sneakers on today. What God is trying to say is that in order to get unstuck, you got to move to this third phase. That's the sneaker phase. It says in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, Abram, this is the sneaker phase. Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household. Go to the land I will show you. Listen, he said, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Leave and go. Leave and go. You know, some people leave, but they don't go. They left the marriage a long time ago. They left the job a long time ago. I mean, they still getting a paycheck, but they left that thing in motion a long time ago. And other people, they go, but they never leave. You wonder why the person you're sleeping with is thinking about somebody else, because she never left Charlie. So a lot of people can go, but they never leave. The Bible says that you're supposed to leave your father and mother and cleave, join to, leave and cleave and then weave, come together with. We do it backwards, right? Let's weave together, see if it works out. We're doing it backwards. And let's cleave together and live together, see if it works out. We're doing it backwards. And if all that works out, then we'll leave our father and mother and get married. No, you get married first. Become one flesh. We try to become one flesh and then decide whether we want to get married. The problem with that is you still got a bunch of folk in the background that you've been with, and after a while you're so messed up you don't even know which way is right and which way is left, and dude's just trying to love you. She's just trying to love you, but she don't know who she's loving because you all screwed up with everybody you've been loving. God says if you do it my way, leave and go, I will show you where you're going to go. And I'll be with you, and that's where the promises comes in. I will. He gives them five I wills. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. God is saying to some of y'all, get your sneakers on. Who's got the sneakers on? Stand up. Let me see your sneakers. I want to see your sneakers. I want to see your sneakers. Because this is a sign that you're going to get up and go. That you're no longer going to stay stuck in your situation. That you're saying, God, I got my sneakers on. I'm going to get up and go. Can I see your sneakers? Step into the aisle. Come to the altar. You can come on the stage if you want. I want to see your sneakers because this is you saying, God, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go. God, I'm not going to be stuck anymore in this situation. God, whatever generational curses were behind me, I am now going to walk out of it. I will not be stuck where my daddy was stuck. I will not be stuck where my mama was stuck. I will not be stuck where my addiction was stuck. I'm coming out of my addiction. I'm coming out of my situation. I'm coming out of that thing that's been holding me back. Anybody got your sneakers on? Show your sneakers to one another. Come on up here. Let me see those sneakers. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. I want to see your sneakers. Walk walk across the auditorium if you want. Lord Jesus, I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna go. I'm not gonna be stuck anymore. You called me out of my situation. I'm gonna get to stepping. I'm not gonna let the enemy hold me down. I will not settle where I set out. I will not settle for less. I will not settle for poverty. I will not settle for sickness. I will not settle for brokenness. No, I'm gonna walk by faith and not by sight. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Walk by faith, not by sight. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will order your steps. A man's ways are ordained by the Lord. Who's stepping for the Lord? Get to stepping. Oh my goodness, come on, y'all ready? One, two, come on. They're like, what is going on with the pastor? He must have been on sabbatical. But God brought me back to be your towboat, to pull you out of your slumber, to pull you out of your sleep, to pull you out of your darkness. Walk in the light. Walk in righteousness. Walk by faith. And God will take you where he has called you to go. And all of Bridgeway said amen, amen, and amen. All right. Two more minutes for stepping. You ready? One, two, three, go. Go ahead, put your feet together. This is a sign, Lord, that I am going to get up and not settle in my stuck place. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead, back to your seats. You can march back. You can dance back. I don't know how Pastor Heiliger gonna get up here now. Woo! Well, y'all at home, I know that some of you were dancing in your living room. Owens Mills, I hope y'all were dancing on the stage. Hope you were dancing on the floor there. I'm gonna send it back to Pastor Mitch. Mitch, do what you do. Good luck.